and this news story. President Obama is going to be meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister there. He's going to be trying to resume a meeting that was canceled because of that Gaza flotilla story that took place several weeks ago. But will anything substantial come of this meeting? There's, if anything, more pressure now than there has been before. Aaron David Miller joins us. He's a former Middle East advisor to both Republican and Democratic secretaries of state and the author of The Much-Too-Promised Land, America's Elusive Search for Arab-Israeli Peace. Aaron David Miller, good morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here, Jeff.
So let's just track things a little bit. I mean, the first meeting that took place between these two went dreadfully off track. The second meeting had to be canceled because of the Gaza flotilla story. It seems like we're accumulating difficulties here rather than relinquishing them. How much pressure is on this meeting this morning?
Yeah, I think expectations are very high, although I think both the president and the prime minister are determined to make this meeting go well. They both have a stake in seeing it succeed. And frankly, there's no reason right now, at least, for any sort of crisis or crisis of confidence. The prime minister needs to demonstrate that he can manage Israel's most important relationship, and the president, who wants to be the president who delivers on a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, I think has come round to the notion that at least he has to test the prime minister's seriousness. So he has a stake in cooperating as well. The real issue here is not today, but whether or not this meeting will be a sort of false calm, and that there's a deeper dysfunction that is lurking below, which is going to appear sooner rather than later.
Well, I mean, looking at two details there, I mean, if Benjamin Netanyahu offers a freeze on settlements, which would be a major concession, the Obama administration has demanded a freeze on settlements, the Israeli government's going to fall, right? And then, as we've seen before, and the Gaza flotilla story is an example of this, that events on the ground can overwhelm even calm meetings.
I mean, I think coalition constraints is a problem. But I think the prime minister, at least I believe his strategy, is to try to extend the freeze. And in the event he gets an agreement from the Palestinians to come back, not to proximity talks, but to direct negotiations, I think he can get away with extending the freeze for a limited period of time. The real issue, though, is whether or not the gaps that separate Israelis and Palestinians on the big issues like Jerusalem, border security, and refugees can be bridged, and whether or not the U.S. and Israel are also on the same page when it comes to their respective views on these issues. So you got two big moments of truth which are coming, and the faster they approach, the more complex and difficult the U.S.-Israeli relationship is going to get, and the pursuit of Arab-Israeli peace.
We got a little bit of a snapshot of some indication of incentives to move forward in terms of bilateral talks between Palestinian Authority officials and Israeli officials in a meeting that took place in Jerusalem. Can you explain the significance of that?
Yeah, it's the first high-level contact since the deep freeze between Israelis and Palestinians. And it occurs between a Palestinian Prime Minister, Salam Fayyad, who is the sort of author of the build it and they will come strategy, which is to create a set of institutions on the West Bank. He's a pragmatic guy, World Bank trained economist, and the Minister of Defense, former Prime Minister Ehud Barak, who has been associated in the past with far-reaching proposals on issues like territory in Jerusalem. So I think it's a good indication that there does exist in that second tier, below the level of Abbas and Netanyahu, a real determination to find a way forward. But in the end, it's going to be the decision makers. It's going to be the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. And in this case, Bibi is kind of at war with Netanyahu, the tough-talking Likud prime minister pulled by ideology and his revisionist past. Is at war in a way with Netanyahu, the second Israeli prime minister to serve, fourth Israeli prime minister to serve two non-consecutive terms, who wants to lead Israel out of the shadow of the bomb and towards some sort of an agreement with his neighbor. So I think in the end, it's going to be the leaders, not the second tier, that will
right.
determine how fast and how far this thing moves.
Well, I want to ask you about some imagery that you used regarding the mission for Barack Obama in a moment. You talked to the BBC this morning, but you actually had some FaceTime with Benjamin Netanyahu within the last several weeks. Did he try out any lines on you to indicate this softer tone, this sort of legacy mission, as opposed to the tough-talking Likudnik?
No, I think I found an Israeli prime minister who was nervous about the nature of his relationship with the president, but determined. I mean, his view of the world really isn't one that is driven by the realities of what it's like to live here. And he pointed out the fact that Ehud Barak had withdrawn from southern Lebanon, and the Israelis had got his Bulla rockets. Sharon, master architect of the settlement enterprise, withdrew from Gaza, and he got Hamas rockets. And this guy, by his own admission, didn't want to be the third Israeli prime minister to withdraw again, this time from the West Bank territory, without reciprocal commitments that last and make sense from the Palestinians on Israel's security needs. So this guy isn't going to be rolled. This is not a three-day peace conference in Madrid. It's not even an Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty. The stakes here are extremely high.
Indeed. And you have a piece in Politico this morning which suggests that Barack Obama is going to need to use, as you used in your language to the BBC this morning, honey and vinegar to try to get progress. Who gets the honey? Who gets the vinegar here before we go?
I think in the end they both get each, because unless an American president isn't prepared to be tough and reassuring at the same time, you might as well hang a close for the season sign on our policy. It's toughness, but in the end reassurance, that ultimately is going to deliver this deal. The question is whether or not the president has the capacity,
right,
and the motivation and the partners in the Israeli campaigns to do it.
A challenging vinaigrette there from Aaron David Miller, talking about the Middle East meeting between Benjamin Netanyahu and Barack Obama. He's a former advisor on the Middle East to both Republican and Democratic secretaries of state.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.